Let me just pray as we get into God's word this morning that he would speak to us what he wants to say and do.
Father, we love you. We thank you. Now, Lord, we get into your word and we ask that you speak to us, that you touch our hearts, that we take away what you want us to take away. We ask that your spirit would come. Help us lay those distractions, those thoughts of what we'll be doing today. May we lay them at your feet. May we hear what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Last week, I talked about the importance of spending time with God. Because we talked about how if we want to grow in our walk with God, if we want to discover the spiritual gifts that God's given us, if we want to overcome sin and temptation, how many of us struggle with sin and temptation?
I do.
How do we overcome that? I believe that the first place, the most important place, is when we spend time with God. We spend time in his word, we spend time talking to him, and he could deal with those areas in our life. We spend time in his word's living, it's powerful, it's God breathed, it can change us. And then we pray, we talk to God about what's going on in our lives. We pray, we talk to God. Because when we encounter the living God on a daily basis, we can begin to change. Yes, this is how much change it may be. Is it a sprint in our change? Probably not. Even though you've seen some people, when God grabs someone's life, you see this immediate change, like when they didn't know God and they came to know Jesus. But in the Christian walk, it tends to be baby steps. You see a baby, the first steps, they're holding on to things and they start taking more steps. You guys remember that when you see a baby do that? It's like, oh, so cute. But in the midst of their baby steps, if you add 20 baby steps, that's from here to there. In our Christian walk, it just takes baby steps. Are you taking baby steps? Are you spending time with God in his word? Are you talking to him? Take baby steps. And as you may remember, when your kid starts getting a little better at his baby steps, soon you're like, where is he? I remember the time with Kelton. My wife went into one of her favorite stores in Colorado Springs, Terra Verde, right? A clothing store where I'd go buy her either clothing or I'd buy her jewelry. She would buy her clothing, but jewelry at the store. And I was watching, I think Olivia was with me. I think I was in Olivia's store, maybe not. And I was talking to some other parent at the playground. I turned, freaking out, Kelton's gone. And that's the worst nightmare of any parent. You, one minute you turn, you always hear and they're gone. You fear that your child's going to grab your kid. He was small. I'm freaking out. I pull my phone out to call my wife. I can't find my son. Next minute I look, there he is, sprinting across the open field on the other side of the park. He took off. He was a little guy, but he got pretty far pretty quick. That's the same in our walk with God. Are we doing baby steps, little steps towards God? Are you taking baby steps towards God? It's not instant growth. Could you imagine you putting your baby to sleep one night? And the next morning you come to change their diaper and it's a grown-up. That's why we want our spiritual life. We want fast food. We want quick growth. Doesn't happen. It would startle us. Hey, time to... they're stuck in the diapers, broken. They're grown up the next morning. We want that in our spiritual growth, but that's not how it works. It's baby step, taking little steps to walk, to go towards God, to spend time, to read. And as you take baby steps, you'll look back and go, wow, I used to be here, but now I'm here. Are you taking baby steps towards God? And last week, I gave us a three-month challenge. And no, I'm not going to put it on the screen because our screen's not working right now. But 16 people took the three-month challenge. The three-month challenge was this: to make a commitment for 3 months to regularly spend time in God's word and to spend time in prayer.
And if you haven't made that commitment, will you take the 3-month challenge? It started last week. For 3 months on a regular basis. I'm not saying you won't miss a day or here and there, but regularly, I will fill my gas tank daily with God. Instead of going from Sunday, where you start to fill a little bit of gas tank, a lot of us go from Sunday to Sunday, and we are dry about the beginning of the week. Fill your gas tank for the next 3 months. I will spend time with God and see what baby steps you will take in this process. Did you guys, those who stood up, you know, I'm not going to ask you to stand up again. Or maybe I should. That would be nice. I'm not going to. Are you spending time with God? I know who you are, and I'm going to be checking up on you. Woohoo! Don't you love that the pastor calls? It's not to make it a chore. It's to help promote a relationship with God. A relationship that will change our lives. Spend time with God. If we don't, we won't grow. If we do, we will begin to grow, even if it's baby steps. Spend time with God. Now this week, I want to talk about the subject of stewardship. The subject of stewardship. When you hear this word, does anything come to your mind when you think of the word stewardship? It's not the word that you use very often, and it maybe seem confusing. Don't worry, I'll talk about what it means in a second. But for those that may know what stewardship is, when you think of the word stewardship, what comes to your mind? Anybody? Okay, flight attendant. Okay, steward comes in, a flight. Okay. Anybody else? And she really has, it could work with stewardship on what a flight attendant does with stewardship. Stewardship, that's what I want to talk about. I'll tell you the definition in just a second. But the reason I want to talk about stewardship is as we are journeying through the book of Ephesians, we come across that word stewardship. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I just want to read the portion of Scripture. We talked about some aspects of this passage, but I just want to read it again to remind us, and I'm going to focus on one aspect of this passage today. Ephesians 3, let's begin in verse 1, and let me just read this. And this is what Paul says to those in Ephesus in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me. By the working of his power, to me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given. To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Again, verse 2. Assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. As we saw in the past weeks, God called a Jew, a religious Jew, to go to the Gentiles. And so we see that God called, that God gave the gift of God's grace. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the gift of God's grace, the spiritual gift, how God gives everyone who's a true believer in Jesus Christ gifts. I don't know about you, I like gifts. He gives everyone a gift. You may not know what your gift is, but he's given you a gift. So we talked about the gift of God's grace. Paul received the gift of God's grace. And he, a Jew who really kind of stayed away from Gentiles lots of the time, God gave him the gift, a heart for the Gentile people.
So what God did is God called him, and he called him to go to the Gentiles to preach unsearchable riches of Christ, and Paul did it.
So God called Paul, and then God equipped Paul. And how did God equip Paul? He gave him spiritual gifts that he could use to reach the Gentiles. And he gave him the gift of what? One of the spiritual gifts we talked about was the gift of being an apostle. He was an apostle, which is a leadership gift from God. It was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was called an apostle to the Gentiles. So he was raised up to be a leader. Another spiritual gift that Paul had was teaching. He taught them about God. He spent time with them, teaching them about the mysteries of the unsearchable riches of Christ. The gift of teaching. So God called Paul to the Gentiles, and he equipped them with spiritual gifts. With spiritual gifts. In the similar way, God has called all of us into the ministry. All into the ministry. We may not be a leader. You may not be called into those different gifts of leadership in the church. Or maybe you won't. Maybe God will prepare you to give you the gift of leadership in the church. But he gives everyone a gift. And you may not be a leader yet, or you may become a leader, but if you aren't a leader, we are all called to be disciples. What's a disciple of Jesus? Anybody? Follows. A follower of Jesus. We are all called to be followers of Jesus, and as we follow him, he gives us gifts. And a couple of weeks ago, there's three main areas that we see the gifts in the New Testament. There's other areas, but the one I talked about was 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about some of the spiritual gifts. Okay, just a little reminder about some of the spiritual gifts. The gift of teaching, like I mentioned, Paul had the gift of teaching. Eric has a gift of teaching. Justin Meek has the gift of teaching. It is a spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift. Okay, what's another spiritual gift? The gift of faith. Have you guys ever met someone who had extraordinary faith? Now, we all have faith. We all have a portion of faith. Because you cannot become a believer in Jesus Christ and not have faith. For by grace, you've been saved through faith. But there's people you come across that have the spiritual gift that God gave them. It doesn't matter how bad their life may be. Horrible. But their faith is strong in God. That's a spiritual gift. Another spiritual gift Paul talks about is a spiritual gift of evangelism. We're all told we are all told in God's word to tell people about Jesus. You ever meet someone who, when they tell people about Jesus, people come to know the Lord all the time. They have the gift of evangelism. That's another leadership gift, the gift of evangelism. They go, they motivate, and they tell people about Jesus, the gift of evangelism. One of my joint gifts that my wife and I have is the gift of hospitality. We love to have people come into our home and serve them, talk about God, and feed them great food. Gift of hospitality. There's the gift of healing. There's all different types of gifts we find in God's word. The different gifts, the gifts of generosity. God's word tells us to give to the church, to give to his people, his work. You ever see someone that they do that? But then something's inside and they give. Not only of their time, but they are generous. The gift of generous, being generous giver, is a spiritual gift. We are all given gifts. What's your gift? Well, Reed, I don't know what my gift is. That's fine, right? We're all at different stages of our walk with God. How do I discover my gift? The first thing I talked about this morning, spend time with God. When you spend time with God, it's like you're putting your head up his chest. You hear his heart. As you begin to hear his heart, he begins to reveal in his time, in his way, your gift.
If you want to discover what your spiritual gift is, one, spend time with God. The second thing, serve God's people. Serve. Serve where there's needs in amongst God's people, in the church. Serve, because as you serve, you may discover things you don't like to do, but as you serve, you'll discover, I don't care for that, but man, that just drives, something burns in my heart to do that. And as you begin to do that, God will begin to open your eyes what your spiritual gift is. What is your spiritual gift? So we see that God gives us spiritual gifts. He gives it to us. We spend time with God. We spend time serving. We'll discover our spiritual gift. But there's another step we saw with Paul. God equipped Paul. I mean, first God called Paul. He equipped him with spiritual gifts. But there's another step. God empowers the spiritual gift. So what happens is, Paul was called, he was given a spiritual gift, he used it faithfully, and God used him to reach the Gentile people. And we see that when we look into God's word. But, do you realize that when Paul used his spiritual gift, that spiritual gift is not just for us? We have a gift. I get my cool tool. It's mainly for me. I like tools. When God gives us a gift, sure, it blesses us. And we get, wow, this is cool. But the primary reason that God gave you a spiritual gift is for other people. It's for other people. The primary purpose for your gift is the church. When I say church here, I think we need to rethink what we think of church. This building here is not the church. It's the church. It's the church building because you're the church. You come here, you make this the church. We're all the church because the temple of the Holy Spirit's inside of us. And wherever we go, we're the church. When we gather together, we're one church. Think about that. We are the church, and your spiritual gifts are not for you. Woohoo! Denise's spiritual gifts? Your spiritual gift? Wow, how do we do that Sunday mornings? We can't completely. Our culture's like, oh, we come Sunday mornings, we fill our take a little bit, we don't spend time with God, we don't use our spiritual gifts. No wonder the church is dying here in the United States. God's true church will never die. The gates of hell will not prevail. But the institutional church will die unless we change the way we do church. Church is not a building, it's people. Make the church, the people. And we have spiritual gifts that we all can contribute. We all have a different role to play. Kendall was just in the drama, right? In her drama. She played a role, the primary role in the drama she was involved in. One of my favorite musicals growing up, it's probably still one of my favorite musicals. Is you guys ever hear of the musical Les Miserables? I remember I was 17 years old, I was in London, and someone had, back then I think it was a cassette tape, and they were playing music, and I remember hearing the music going, oh, I want to go see that musical, oh, it sounds so good. So I called, and they were booked out for months. Man, so then I was downtown London, I'm walking through, I even went to a place and asked, do you have any available tickets? No. Well, as I continued walking down the street, I came across Palace Theater, downtown London, the theater where Les Mis was playing. And I remember walking up, getting in line. As I walked up, I asked, do you have any tickets available? Please have tickets available. Two tickets were available. One ticket's for £5. Back then, £5 was about $8, $8, $9. But you'd be put way up. And like you're up there, like you're looking down. And there's the stage way down there. Or they had one for 20, I think it's like 24 or 26 pounds, which is closer to $50 or so. I wanted the good one. So I got the main level right down there, and I was able to see Les Mis. And as you watch it, you see the different people playing a different role for the musical. That's the church.
To make the church as us, we each have a role to play. Our spiritual gifts, our natural gifts, anything God's given us is for each other, for the church. Because as we serve and build each other, the next access, the next area our spiritual gifts impact is what? The world. We go out and we impact the world.
We each have a role to play. What's your role? What role are you guys playing today? But there's a problem in the church. There's many called, many equipped with a gift, but they don't use their gift. They may not know their gift, or if they do know it, they aren't using it. If they don't know it, then they aren't using it because what's my gift?
Then God won't empower and use you in the way he wants. When he calls you, he's called all of us to be disciples. He equips us with gifts. Now he wants to go out and empower our gift, and we use it for his glory. But we don't use the gift. We don't use the gift. You guys ever watch The Christmas Story? Anybody, you watch This Christmas Story? Do you remember that scene near the end of the movie when him and his brother opening gifts? Now, they open gifts like crazy. And they're taking the gifts. And there's one time in there, as they're tearing the gift, they both open this gift. Ralph looks at his brother, and they take the gift and go, and then they start in more gifts. That's just like many in the church. He's given us gifts. Some of us don't know them, so we don't open them. So in some way, we're like, huh. And some of us open them, aren't sure, we have to discover them, or whatever. And we don't use them. We don't play our role in the musical. We all have a place to play. Are we using? Are we seeking to discover our spiritual gifts?
But you know what? I'm going to take this a little deeper, if you don't mind.
I've been talking a lot about spiritual gifts, those gifts like faith. There's certain things that God infuses us. But you know what? God's word teaches us that all that we have, even the very breath we breathe, is a gift from God. Paul said, in him we live, we move, we have our being. So when I go like this, because God the Creator, that very breath is from God. If it's from God, it's a gift. Because God could take it away if he wanted. So you know what? That's a little scary when I say that. Because you know what? This shirt's not yours. It's a gift. Yeah. My money is his. It's a gift. My home, my car, my possessions are all a gift. That makes it even deeper. Wow. So I'm to play a role in a musical. God calls, he equips, not only spiritual gifts, but everything. And then he wants to empower us in the church to reach the world. Wow. It's awesome. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of this whole thing.
I want to be part of it.
But you know one thing that God calls us to with our gifts? Stewardship. I mentioned the word stewardship.
Like a steward on an airplane, right, Joey? I will use that in just a minute. That was very...
Let's say this. When God calls, he equips you with gifts, you become a steward on an airplane. It's your responsibility. You are responsible for the safety, the protection, the serving of your guest on the airplane. You see a real cheerful stewardess. It's just fun. You're like, this is going to be great. And then you see some that, man, they need to go home. They've had a bad week. But there's different kind of stewards on an airplane, right? God's looking for responsible. Stewardship is mainly simply being responsible, being trustworthy steward. When you have a responsibility of being a steward on the plane, you're not sitting there in the back eating while, I'm supposed to be doing something. You serve. You are part of something. God calls us, and he calls us, equips us to do it and be a trustworthy steward.
Then there's other untrustworthy stewards that should just go home. These are, well, I don't know what they're doing.
But God's calling and looking for responsible, trustworthy stewards. Here's another example. God has called, he's looking for trustworthy bank managers. You go into the bank and you come across the clerks, right? Or the bank teller ladies or whatever, you know, guys and girls there. But then there's the bank manager. What's the responsibility of a bank manager? He makes sure that the bank's running good. His administration oversees the bank. They make decisions for loaning money to people. But one of the main things he does is the safety of the money, the security of the money. God has called each of us to be bank managers of the gift that he gave us. He wants us to manage it, to be trustworthy with the gift that he's given us. Wow. He wants us to be a trustworthy bank manager. When I say trustworthy, what does that mean? You are trustworthy.
It's possible, okay.
Someone you can count on.
You can count on? Trustworthy. Are you worthy of trust? I've taken it for granted. It's not something you're born with. I appreciate my mom. My mom, 7 kids, man, many hands make light work was the common phrase in our home. We have all this food my mom would prepare and do stuff, and we got it. We could clean that kitchen fast. But we had to be trained to be trustworthy. My mom would do that. We would work together. And the more I was trustworthy, the more my mom would let me do things. The more she would give me responsibilities, the more I was trustworthy, and the more she would let me do other things. We have to learn to be trustworthy. But if you were raised in a home maybe where you didn't have a good parent or you're in a bad family, bad situation, we have to learn to be trustworthy, worthy of trust. Are you a person worthy of trust? Here's an example. When you tell someone, I will do it, do you do it? Now, if I get behind, I can't make it, I call the person, being trustworthy, I call the person, my car's down, something came up, I can't be there. But if you do that all the time, well, you're not really a trustworthy person. When you say you will help or do something for a friend, are you trustworthy? Will you do it no matter what? Unless, of course, an emergency, obviously. Or when you make a commitment, I want to be part of something, you are part of it. I've noticed here being new to this area, I see a lot of people that get excited about something, but then there is no trustworthy, it's no involvement, no follow through, no consistency. That's not being trustworthy. God's looking for us all. And we all fail in that area maybe in different ways. He wants us to be trustworthy. When we say we'll say something, we'll do it. When we make a commitment, we make that commitment. But he's looking for trustworthy, responsible stewards, bank managers, stewards of the ship, stewardess of an airplane. He's calling us to do that. Or here's another example of stewardship.
Okay,
I just gave you here $1,000. Okay, here's my, you know, if you ever go in the bank, you need your ID, but sometimes you go in there, if you deposit money, they don't really are so interested in getting your ID. And I write that, I give you $1,000 cash. Oh, here, I don't have time. Will you deposit this to me? I give it to her. Would Joey, and I'm not saying she will or not, I'm just using an example, would she be trustworthy to take that $1,000 and put it in the bank? I would only do that, I would think, if I thought she was trustworthy, right? God gives us gifts. Does he trust us? Are we becoming trustworthy? Are we taking the gifts, throwing them? Are we just using them for ourselves? He wants us to be faithful bank managers. There's a parable in Matthew 25. You guys know what a parable is? It's a story with a moral teaching. Like, for example, what happens when your kids lie a lot? What do? Famous story, never cry wolf. Well, you want to hear me tell you the story about the kid who cried wolf to teach them not telling lies or whatever? That's like a parable. And so there's a parable called the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And in this parable, what happens a guy's going on a trip and he has some servants. And he's going on this trip and he gives each of them some money. One, 5 talents, which is a certain amount of money. But I'll just say $5. $5 to one, $2 to the other, and $1 to the other. And he goes on a trip and he wants them to do something with that money. And so then he takes off, and the guy with $5, those 5 talents, which is worth a lot more in the time of Jesus than $5, but a lot more, he took the 5 talents and he traded with it, and he came back with 10 talents. He doubled it. The other guy takes the 4, the 2, and he does investing or whatever he did for that, and he comes back with 4 talents. But the one talent, say the $1, he goes, he's fearful of his master. He knows his master's going to expect something. So he goes over, he digs a hole and buries it. And time's going on. Well, the guy comes back. He's expecting. Remember, it was not their money. It was his money. And he comes up to the first two who doubled their money, and he's proud of a good and faithful servant. Good job! You are good in what I gave you. But then you imagine the guy, as he's praising them, the guy's like, can I leave? And then he goes up, and he looks at the guy, and the guy goes, well, I know you're a tough guy, and you reap where you don't sow. I buried. Here's the 1 talent. What did Jesus say? What did the master say to him? Wicked and lazy servant. Interesting. Talking about talents, money. The first two servants were trustworthy. The last one was not trustworthy. In a similar way, God calls us to be trustworthy with the gifts he's given us. Not only spiritual gifts, everything that we give him. Everything. Our natural talents, our money, our spiritual gifts are all his. One thing I think as a church we need to remember, and this is hard for me, maybe it's not hard for you, maybe you guys are ultra spiritual and you get this. But you know what? Well, like Stephanie is right here. Some people come to know Jesus, come to Jesus to get saved from hell. They want fire insurance. I think I did that at first. I know. If I accept him, I don't want to go there. I want to go there. Is that a true Christian, really? Not that God can start there and work. But the true Christian is one that first comes to the realization that Jesus is Lord. It says, in Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, if you confess in your mouth, I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. The Lordship. So, if he's our Lord, and all these gifts that we have are not ours, they're his, we are accountable to him for them. Look at it this way. In the Old Testament, you guys ever hear the phrase, bondservant. In the Old Testament, if you were a Hebrew slave and you were sold to another Hebrew, okay, so within the same Jewish heritage, you were sold, you would work for that master 6 years. And after 6 years, you were free to go. You were free. You didn't have to be a slave anymore. But if you went there by yourself, you would leave by yourself. If you went in there with your wife, you and your wife would leave. If you went in there and got married and had kids, they would be the masters, but then you would leave. That was just the way it happened. But if that servant thought, after 6 years, I love my family, I love my master, I don't want to leave. No! You go to the master. Master would take you to the doorpost of his home. He would take your ear, take his awls, pointy thing, bam, and hit it right through your ear. You would become a bondservant for life. You would be his life. That's lordship. At the cross of Jesus Christ, I take my ear. God pierces it with awe. I'm now his. He's my Lord.
My Lord. Is Jesus your Lord? Or maybe you just do it for fire insurance. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you trustworthy with your time, money, talent, spiritual gifts, natural gifts? Are you
trustworthy with how you use these in your everyday life, away from being at the church building when you live your life? Are you trustworthy in how you use your gifts with us, God's people, His church?
If Grace Crossing is, and we're going to take it here just because we're here at the church here, okay? If you call Grace Crossing your church, which is more than a building, it's us, right? You are called to be trustworthy. We are all called to use our gifts for one another. Are you using God's gifts, natural gifts, all gifts for His people?
There's all types of ministry. Everyone here is called to ministry in some way. Last week I talked about the ministry, the most favorite ministry of all, the bathroom ministry. Woohoo! Oh, no one's excited about that. I understand why. I don't like cleaning up my son's bathroom. My son hasn't quite learned to aim very well. You remember that when they're younger? Bathroom ministry. Serving. I don't know if anyone could be called to that in the same way, but yes, you're called to serve. You don't always serve just because you like it. You do it because there's a need. You serve, and as you serve, you discover your spiritual gifts, what God's called you. Bathroom ministry is one example, and I appreciate Paige and Misty this week cleaning our bathrooms. We're looking for some. I know Denise. I talked to Denise. We're looking for another person who can help after youth group on Wednesdays when the kids make a mess to come over, put the chairs back, to kind of mop if it needs it, get the church ready for when they come in on Sunday morning. It's ready for people to come in. There's a building maintenance. I appreciate Shad and Bo. You looked how great the yard looked?
Yes,
there's some weeds. And I had, I think KJ volunteered that he'll start doing the weeds. We're looking for people that can help here at Grace Crossing Church with these needs. To serve.
There's children's ministry. They're serving one another. Are you serving in different ways? Are you using your gifts?
Or are you burying them? Are you taking it up? Ha-ha! Like the kids in the Christmas story. You know the scary thing about stewardship? This is a church building. Oh, Ray, this is a church building. This isn't a church. So I don't have to be responsible for it. Well, if everything is a gift from God, right now, Grace Crossing Church owns this church. And because we're His church, we are responsible for its upkeeping, maintenance, and everything else. It's ours. God's given it to us. He's watching. Are we going to be trustworthy? We become trustworthy. What does He do? He starts to bring other people. We become part of a trustworthy church. If we're just church, kind of just do things as we want, whatever, we kind of, oh, we aren't doing what God has. Woo. But we're all responsible. We are all responsible for, and here's the most difficult one about being trustworthy. God is calling everyone to be a trustworthy giver to the church. You guys know, how often have I spoke on tithing or giving? And that was tough. That one time, like a year and a half ago, it's not fun. I don't like talking about money. I like my money. We're all called to give. If this is your church, we are to be trustworthy. If our money, our time is not ours, it's His. Old Testament tells us 10% is the principle. Is the main principle of Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's God's looking, searching for cheerful givers. He may even have given more than 10% because now He owns all of you. It's a church. If we're responsible for our church, we're all responsible for maintaining it, that it runs, that the ministries keep going. That's part of our being trustworthy. I heard one person say, Rita, I have no money. Or I remember one time I didn't have much money, but because I wanted to be obedient to God's word, I gave just a little bit of money. Hardly anything. You know there's a principle in Scripture? You give God something, He multiplies it. Now, no, I'm not talking about the name it, claim it, the prosperity where you give $1,000, God will give you $1,000,000. Yeah! But there's a principle in Scripture that we reap what we sow. When we give one, if that's all we can give, give. And you will see. Well, this person gave me more, a job. I could work here. I got a little money. God will begin to bless. We have the worship team come forward. And I'm not just talking about money today. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about gifts. Everyone here is special. Everyone has a gift. Could you imagine how things would change if we look at the church more than Sunday morning church, but a lifestyle of living life together? Here's in closing, here is a trustworthy test of being a good, responsible servant, bank manager, steward on an airplane. Is this? How do you pass this test? Let's see. The trustworthy test. Are you reading God's word regularly? Would that be, back in my day, a star? No, I don't see that much anymore. Or the check. Ooh, we don't like the red check. Are you praying? Star? Check. When you say you do something, do you do it? If, that's three, star. Star check. If you make a commitment, do you keep it? You know what? One of the big areas of growth, if you want spiritual growth, spend time with God and His Word, the next area of spiritual growth is hanging out with God's people. I found out when we have things going on here, we get people all excited about being part of something, and they're even enjoying when they come, but there's inconsistency. They come when they feel like it. They come maybe 3 out of the 10 times. How do you grow? Are you trustworthy in your commitments? One of these times, maybe I'll do the commitment after this 3-month commitment of spending time with Christ. The commitment of spending, when you make a commitment, if you sign up for that grace group, if you sign up for that, I will be there unless a train hits me. I'll be there. If you do that, I guarantee you'll see growth. Maybe baby steps, but see growth. Can you imagine if we all did that? How excited we'd be together. So, if you make a commitment, do you keep it? Okay, there's 4 so far. Star or check. Are you attending church regularly? God's word doesn't give us the option as a Christian. It doesn't say, come to church when you feel like it. God's word says, do not forsake the gathering together. But we take church like an event instead of church as a relationship with God and one another. Check or star. Are you using your spiritual gifts in the church? And lastly, are you giving financially to the church on a regular basis? God's looking for trustworthy people. You fail, but we take baby steps so we can grow in Him. Let us worship God and say, God, I want to be a trustworthy steward of your gifts.